It's episode 2 of Artisans Decoded. This time, I'm catching up with Chris Arter. Enjoy.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, man?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. One of my friends in Slack said, happy Thursday. And then he said, just kidding, it's Wednesday. I'm realizing... That came down off of that cliff pretty fast today, but
damn,
can't complain. I know he's a madman. I told him he's a monster for doing that. So,
did you quit Slack in a rage?
I wanted to flip the desk, but then I had to like clean it up, and then I was like, I don't want to do that. So,
yeah, no. Tell us about yourself. Where are you? What do you do? That kind of thing.
Yeah, sure. So I'm based in Raleigh, North Carolina, the Triangle area. Currently, I'm a staff engineer at a company called Three Ships, and I do all sorts of stuff, Laravel, some WordPress, some PHP, Node, some DevOps, and currently, as a staff engineer, I'm kind of trying to level up the org as a whole and trying to kind of raise all boats right now. So that is what I'm up to these days.
Cool.
Yeah.
How did you get into PHP in the first place?
Oh, buddy. So this is a little bit, not too long of a story, but there's some context here. Around 2009, Great Recession hit. I was, college kid, could not find any work whatsoever. I started taking my college stuff off my resume, was applying for anything, could not get any work. I was sleeping in my car and in my friend's garage, just trying to survive, stealing ramen noodles, that kind of thing. And back then, this was, sort of a ghost town because of all the foreclosures. I was lucky enough that someone left the Wi-Fi on in one of these places, and I was able to pick it up. And I had free time, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to learn to code. And so that's what I did. So there was some kid on YouTube who uploaded a bunch of PHP tutorials. And this is back in 2010, so... YouTube was a lot different back then. Yeah. So you didn't have all the choices that you do now. So I followed those tutorials, and that was really where I started learning like the basics of, variable types and control structures and stuff like that. And then, I sort of got lucky and got out of that situation, and PHP kind of was the common theme. I wasn't doing it professionally, but I was learning to code on my own all the time. It was sort of like a compulsion for quite a while. And I went and joined a startup, and I was a ground floor employee there. And I used PHP a lot for like automation. And at that time I was doing a lot of like WordPress stuff. And I just like, man, I was like, oh dude, this is there's more to this. And I couldn't put my finger on it. Like there's gotta be a different way to do this. And sure enough, I found Laravel right around in 2015. And the rest has sort of been history since then.
You've answered my next question already. When did you get into Laravel? But
yeah,
just going back onto the that starting point, that's really like, I mean, it's wild in a way. You say you're living in your car.
Yeah.
And you're boosting free Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Like,
that's how I got into coding in PHP is sort of, survival. It's back then. The life I have now might as well have been on the moon. Like it's just seemed impossible, but all I did was just continue to do it and get myself out of the situation. And then finally I was like, you know what? All these years I've sort of been coding. I'm going to code here at this new job and I'm going to make it so that it's a tool that helps the company and stuff like that. So it gave me my first hands-on experience, and cut my teeth in the startup world, which was cool. Definitely a young man's game, but, it was a good opportunity. So it all worked out, but it was definitely an interesting way to get into the language.
Well, it worked out because you put in the hard work. I mean, I don't know anybody who's had free Wi-Fi and used it to learn something that's actually improved their life.
Yeah, man. There would be nights that I would, I would feel so stupid because I couldn't get something working. And I'd feel like, this isn't for me. I don't belong here. Like I would have all those thoughts. And like now looking back, I'm like, all totally normal, everyone has them. And I'm really glad that I pushed through them because, it worked out. Yeah. So yeah, that was tough, but here I am,
Nice. I guess you went through the same kind of thing as I did, which is when you then learn Laravel, you're like, I don't know how to do this again. So tell us about why did you start using Laravel?
I started asking dumb questions, which I think is a great thing to do. I don't think enough people do it. So I started asking dumb questions on forums and things like Reddit and stuff like that. And I kept seeing the word Laravel come up on Reddit, like, oh, what you're trying to do, maybe look at Laravel. And I saw that a few times and I was like, maybe I should look at Laravel. So booted it up. It was a total different mindset shift, completely like tectonically different than what I was used to.
Yeah.
So obviously I learned a lot on YouTube and I went through just every tutorial I could find. After that, I kind of got a good idea. And once I joined Laracast, and then I went through the Laracast system, and that's when it really started to become quite evident of, like, you know, what I could do with it. And then I started looking for any way I could build with it, or build a product, or incorporate it in work, something like that. And then around 2017, I left my startup and went into working full-time as an engineer at another company called Launch That. And there, that was the first place that I really did quite a bit of Laravel. That was awesome.
Great. And was it just Laravel, or were you doing other things as well?
I was doing some serverless node, some step function stuff. We were using the serverless framework. I don't know if that's still popular, but I enjoyed it back then because I just defined a YAML file and it did all the cloud stuff for me.
So
I did some of the serverless node and got us off of Gulp into what I thought was awesome was Webpack, but oh boy, I miss Gulp.
Never got into the kind of old package tooling, all of that within Node for ages.
Yeah.
I just remember there being loads and loads of them all coming out at the same time. I mean, has that
in the JavaScript system? No way. What?
Yeah. It's like, it's been like this forever. When's this going to stop?
Yeah.
NPM sort of started to get up to par with Yarn in terms of safety and speed and whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I'm just going to stick with this. I think that's it for me. I just want to like pick a bunch of tools and not have to think about it ever again.
Then you'd love .NET.
Yeah. No, I did .NET and I didn't like that.
Yeah, you so.
Yeah. No, Laravel was like a breath of fresh air for me.
Yeah.
So, and I just knew, like, this is what I'm sticking with now for a really long time.
Yeah. So that's funny, because if you have the .NET background and you go to Laravel, I'm assuming that it's probably sort of, this is my kind of a dumb assumption, but I'm assuming that it's probably a breath of fresh air because you sort of get the familiar patterns of dependency injection and those conventions, but you get sort of the vibe of Laravel, which is sort of like just ship it and live and let live.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know. That's just my speculation, is that there's sort of a freedom there that allows
you
to breathe.
The community is a massive pull. From my point of view at the time, it was. But I think there's this openness, you know, like PHP's always been a bit open, and the plug and play aspects of the web, you know, has been, you take this technology from here and that technology from there, you bring them together, they work kind of well together, and the deploy story is like really easy. So
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
just
that's awesome.
Whereas with .NET, it was always like, you're locked it, you do things the Microsoft way.
With PHP and Laravel, you can kind of like let your hair down. You know, and kick back and relax.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
So where are you now? You said, what's the company name?
So, Three Ships. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm a staff engineer there at Three Ships.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And you're doing a lot of Laravel or lots of mixed stuff?
What's the deal? So, I'm kind of doing a lot of everything. Three Ships, has been awesome. Like my colleagues there are awesome. We are currently trying to steer the company as a whole to the next generation of shipping content and all kinds of stuff. So they're on a lot of legacy stuff, some WordPress stuff, which I'm not a hater of WordPress. It's just sometimes when it gets shoehorned and things it shouldn't do, not so great. So we are trying to figure out the best way to deliver content, to run tests, and so on. So some of that is Laravel. So we just finished up a backend API that powers a lot of our content. Some of it is WordPress. We are moving to a headless system with Builder.io. And then on the front end, it's Next.js. I've done not much React, so that should be fun. I've done a ton of Vue, so I've done Vue and Nuxt and all this stuff, and yeah. I have completed Angular tickets. That will be on my gravestone. Like, he did some Angular, so I have done some Angular. So I like to think I'm dangerous enough with the virtual DOM to get that done. But yeah, that's part of being a staff engineer. You just got to figure it out, you know, as you go.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, that's engineering 101, figure out as you go. So tell me what's your take on. I mean, I don't think I've ever been in a company where there's been that delineation between like a senior engineer and a staff engineer. What's your take on
the difference? Yeah, so that's a great question. What I would say, the main thing between being a senior and being a staff, first of all, it's very org dependent. So this is not one size fits all. I would say generally, if you squint your eyes a little bit, the distinction is a senior engineer can elevate a team, like a single product team. A staff engineer does exactly the same thing, but across either an organization or sort of an arm of an organization. Yeah. So they come in to, most of the time I'm in there to, put out a fire and kind of lower the temperature of the room a little bit, because everyone's like, oh my God, something's broken. Everything's, everything's going wrong. So when you're a staff engineer in those situations, you can come in and kind of provide some reassurance and to help guide through some things that, you know, maybe production's down and everyone's freaking out. You know, you can kind of be the steady hand in those situations. As another thing a staff engineer does is to, you know, raise all ships with the water, whatever the saying is, you know. So you want to be a positive impact anytime you interact with an engineer, especially junior engineers. There's something with being a staff engineer that you need to make sure that you choose your words wisely and be tactful about the way that you give feedback, because the way that you give feedback can really shape someone's outlook on their career. It can shape how they view themselves as an engineer. So I am very much, my number one priority is vibe. So I will make sure that if I have to give someone feedback, that I do it in a way that's really specific and honest. But it also is kind of a pep talk, and I want them to feel, lifted up after it,
So. Yeah. Do you see yourself as like the coach, or are you somewhere like below someone else in the organization that's kind of really orchestrating the team, and you're just like, the armband captain?
Yeah. So I think I would consider myself sort of like a team captain. Mm-hmm. I have been an engineering manager in the past. And I did not like that job at all. I did not like management whatsoever. I did it for almost 2 years, something like that. And I think because, business enjoyed speaking with me and stuff like that, that they were like, oh, well, he'll obviously love management. Not so much. So I enjoy still being deeply technical. I enjoy leading technical teams. I don't love a ton of meetings. So that's... where I've been, and now in the last 2 years, I've gotten like really crystal clear on my priorities as far as what I value when I work, and I love being an IC. That might change in the future, who knows? Sure. But for now, definitely enjoying being an IC again.
That's really good. Like, just to have that clarity and to be able to get to that place. You know, I think a lot of people look at their career path as like, well, it's just up the ladder. There's no hold the position, or like go down a specific tunnel towards something.
Exactly. And I think people, I'm guilty of this too, so I'm kind of speaking for myself, but for a while I was sort of thought that, whatever position I go to and whatever like path I pursue, that like that's my forever path. But that might change in a year, and I might want to get back into management, or go to VP level and really make an impact there. Who knows? So I implore people that if you're trying to decide between IC and management and that kind of thing, it is not a binary choice. It is a gradient, So Yeah, choose one. Absolutely. If you can, if you have the luxury of choosing one and kind of spanning that gamut, you know, and trying them both, that's awesome. So,
Yeah. Stepping away from programming, like, you sound like a fun guy. I know you're a fun guy. What do you do, like, away from the desk, from the computer, from the screens, that, like, keeps you refreshed?
Yeah.
When you are in front of those and helping people, that you're doing it to the best of your ability?
Oh, great question. Yeah, so I've got two kiddos and my wife, so I spend as much time as I can with them. Nice. And I'm usually at birthday parties on weekends and hiking and stuff like that. When it's, you know, daddy's time by myself, I spend way too much money on stupid old Miatas. So I spend time and money on old junkers, but I'm trying to get one ready to throw around the track in the summer. So that is what I do. I'm usually under a car. I've had meetings under a car trying to pull a transmission because I was like, I would spot a transmission that I needed, and I was like, I can't leave until I pull this. I'd have a meeting that I could just, you know, sit through and listen and kind of participate if I need to. So underneath the car, I'm sitting there with a phone on my chest on the speaker, listening to the meeting. I unmute and give my spiel, answer the question, go back to mute, and continue wrenching on the car. So I think that later in my career, I realized how important time away from the screen was. Not so distant memory as being super burnout and stuff like that. So in the last year or two, I've really decided to prioritize that and get away from a computer, and B, not couple my identity with my job. So that's a big one. And I think that especially us, like in the tech sector, like my Twitter profile is like Chris as a software engineer. It's like the tech, you know, profile. But that's, you know, maybe 25% of my life. There's 75% more of Chris, you know, that needs the same TLC and the same attention and stuff like that. So I think a big one is getting time away from the from the computer, and also you are more than just someone who writes code, you know. So
yeah, that's really nice. I mean, I would say for a lot of engineers, software engineers, it is our hobby, and we're really lucky to be able to do it for our job.
But yeah,
even with that, it's not, you're 100% of who you are.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Get away from the screen.
Yeah. Go go bust your knuckle on a wrench, or go in the woods and, you know, chop down some wood, or just something analog that is something we've done for, you know, hundreds of thousands of years that we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Because it's funny, when we get back to that, it's when we sort of are, I know for me, my anxiety is much lower when I'm outside and doing something with my hands and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, it's funny that if my wife listens to this, she's going to be like, see? but it's great. Like, this is just for me more than anybody else, because I need to do that. I've been thinking about doing woodworking because I think
I mean, that's the token.
I've never got the tools and the time to do it.
Yeah. I know all about throwing away thousands of dollars in money to the fools and some hobby. So woodworking, same thing. Woodworking is the same thing. It's just different.
I'm going to come to you. Yeah.
Yes.
I should too much money, Chris.
I'll send you it's like, I have all this money and all this spare time. I hate all this money. I need to get rid of it. I gotcha.
So how many Miatas have you got parked?
Oh, come on, man. You got to rub my nose in the mud here. Yeah, I've got three. I'm down with three. I'm just kidding. Oh. No, I'm kidding. I have three, one of which I'm going to sell soon. So I'm going to be down to two, which I think is a more normal amount of Miatas to have. maybe for me. But yeah, I've got three. One's track car, one's a turbo build that I'm working on, and the third one is sort of a daily kind of fun little 2016 red one. But yeah, I admit I have a Miata problem, but you know, they're my PHP Lambos. So I'm just thankful that the car that I enjoy, I can get on Craigslist for like $4,000. and it's not
even if you have to like build it yourself.
yeah, and it's not some like $80,000 Audi.
Yeah,
and my dream car just happens to be, you know, $4,000 shitbox. So yeah,
for sure. It's great. I don't know anybody else who's doing what you're doing to Miata. So
yeah, unfortunately, I know a lot of people that are, and they're bad influences. Bad influences.
So you're in gainful employment, you've got your family, you've got your projects, your side projects. Why did you join Larida?
You know what? I wanted to be able to find some work that was not what I see day to day. And I've freelanced for a long time. So I've been a freelancer and a contractor off and on for a while. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big believer that the more code bases you see, and the more clients you work with, in the broader range of code bases you see, it makes you so much better as a developer to recognize patterns that are common. You don't feel so bad about the crap code that you might write because you're like, man, I see this stuff everywhere. You have a lot more realistic idea of like what clients will pay for. You have a lot more realistic idea of the bar, you know, of how high the bar is, which, you know, gives you a lot more confidence to exceed that bar. I had a tweet recently. I found some really bad code, nothing identifiable in it, but I posted it and I was like, you know, this is the bar. It's not that high that you think. So I wanted to, you know, show that, you know, anything is doable. But overall, yeah, I that's why I joined, is because I do enjoy freelancing and contracting and consulting, because I love seeing new, different code bases and different ways companies solve problems, because it has made me a lot better at noticing ways to solve problems one place because I've seen it here in another. So it's the classic, like, you know, it's the classic advantage of being a consultant. I don't call myself a consultant, but it is one of the advantages they have because of the breadth. You know what I'm trying to say. Yeah. The wide range of experience. It gives you a really good 30,000 foot view of what these apps look like in the wild, which is hugely advantageous when you're trying to engineer a solution.
Yeah. So Larida kind of hopefully exposes you to that. Have you had any contact through there?
I haven't yet, but I did my profile, and I probably didn't do a great job on it. So yeah, on my profile, I know I have my picture and I know I have some information on there. But I need to go back there and flesh it out. So that's on me. But there is something there, I promise.
I know there's something there. We wouldn't be having this call if there wasn't.
That's true. Yeah, the keys of the kingdom.
Okay, last question. Do you think it could work better for you, and how?
I think maybe reaching out to me for suggestions on like who's looking, so that maybe I can kind of break the ice. I don't know, you know, how that works with privacy and stuff like that. So that might be a really dumb idea. But I haven't had anything in my inbox that says like, hey, this company is looking for people that might match your profile, so that I can take the initiative. Cause I'm not always on it. So, I think anything that reaches out to me to ping me, it's like, hey, remember this thing, you need to go and find someone that might match your qualifications. So that might help, but that's just my off the top of my head idea.
That's a really good idea. Basically, that is where I want to get to. Like, one of the problems of having a platform like this is it's not something that people come onto on a regular basis without a lot of like instigation, you know? And I don't really need people in the app for it to do its job for you.
Meaning,
like, if a business comes on there and they start messaging people, then it's going to encourage you to come just so you can reply. That's, other than that, that's kind of it.
Yeah.
And so I think I do want it to be a very hands-off experience where, you know, it's doing the work on your behalf. You don't happen to really think about checking it all of the time.
So I'm not having to like spend credits like on all the other things, like, oh, apply to this job and spend credit, and then pitch yourself 24 times a day. I can appreciate that angle for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I have come in it from the, I'm a developer, I know what I would want. yeah. as a developer trying to find, you know, clients or employers. But then for me, it's like I'm having to learn to think of from the team perspective as well. So it's like, I've done the team thing, you know, I've been a hiring manager.
Yeah.
So I know both sides, but now I'm like fusing them together and sort of figuring that out.
Yeah.
Where are my hands? Like this.
Yeah, there they go. Somewhere in there. those are all AI hands. Well, no, how many fingers? Let's see. You got the number. Yeah, no. Okay, we're good. Yeah, yeah. You never know now. I'm like, what's the Dave Chappelle?
I'm real.
He's like, I won't believe that. That's not my grandma. That piss is digital. Anyway. You can edit that out. Or leave it in. I don't care.
We'll see. cool. Well, this has been great. Thanks for the chat. I appreciate it and sharing a little bit more about your history with us.
So, thank you for having me. When you messaged me about it, I was like, yeah, I'll do that. So I'm super appreciate you sending me a message, and anytime to hang out and talk shop.
We're definitely doing that.
For sure. Yeah, yeah. And I am putting it out in the universe that I'll see you at LarryCon. Where is it? Dallas, I think, this year. So I'm putting out there, man.
And I've got to do it now.
Yeah. A friend of mine, Nathan, that I actually made a good friend there now. At the last LarryCon, we went out and got late night hot dogs together. And they definitely had consequences when I went back to the hotel room. So now we're going to start a tradition. Every LarryCon, we're going to go and try to find like the best street hot dogs that we know are going to have consequences later on. So if you would like to join us for this thing, you know, let me know.
I am down for that 100%.
Yeah. I'm going to regret the decision. I know, but you know, it is tradition. So
don't bring it as well. So it's not just the hot dogs.
Oh yeah. I mean, you can't eat that sober. What are you crazy?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Nice one. Thanks, man. It was really, really good to have you on the show.
Well, dude, thank you so much, and I wish you best of luck.
Bye.
Sayonara.
Bye, everybody.
Peace out. Peace up, A-Town down. Is that right? I'm not going to hire this guy. He's making 2000s rap references. You know, best era in hip-hop, but you know, I'll die on that hill. But yeah, no one's going to hire me. That's fine.
I think this is going to be your best way of getting somebody to hire you, honestly.
Yeah, well, yeah. Or yeah, maybe. Or it's going to be like the worst. They're like, remember that podcast you did?
Oh, shit.
I'm going to come into an interview and they're just going to have it playing in the background.
Ah.
You know, like this guy.
Wow. I really enjoyed that. I hope you did too, and you're looking forward to the next one. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts so you can catch the next episode when it comes out. This episode of Artisans Decoded was sponsored by Larader.com, where the Laravel developers are.